Network. Today we're joined with an amazing guest, our first VC, Mr. Andy Davis. Hello, sir.
Thank you.
So we'll start this off with some really fun icebreakers. What was the first concert you ever went to?
I actually went online when he released the tickets. I very luckily got three tickets. Two were in the second row, and one was in the first row, it was at the side of the stage.
Okay.
So then I got them online for like, I think it was like £120 each or something like that.
Oh,
and then these concerts got sold out in like 2 minutes. So I looked online like an hour later, and they were selling for like thousands of pounds. So I was like, yo, I'm going to be rich. I was like 17 or something. I was like super high for like ages. And then the day he died, I was in the chair. I was coming back from, I went to some Lion King playback. So I was on the way back home, and someone called me. Was like, yo. So he was like, yo, man, you hear the news? And I was like, yo, your boy died. I was like, my boy died. And they're like, your boy Michael died. I was like, my boy Michael died. And I had a good friend called Michael. So I was like, Michael died.
Not Michael. Mike.
They were like, I was like, Michael died. I was like, what's wrong, man? Michael just messaged me half an hour ago. We think Michael died. He's like, no, Michael died. And Michael messaged me half an hour ago. And Michael messaged you. He was like, Michael messaged you. I was like, yeah. He said, oh. He said, no, Michael Jackson. And I love my friend Michael. But I was even more upset. I was like, oh, I put my money. I was like, oh, my first Jackson. I was like, what do you mean? Is he really dead? I was like, oh, wait, okay. I was like, let me call you back. I went and check eBay and stuff. And then tickets were just locked. I was just like, super upset. But I didn't go to that. They didn't go to that concert. So the first concert I remember going to was Watch Your Friend, Jay-Z, Kanye.
First time I've heard Jay-Z. People love Jay-Z.
Yeah, okay. So I went to that concert. I actually went 2 nights in the room. And I was in, I was standing, so I was in the mosh pit both nights. So sure.
Next question, cats or dogs?
I'm an animal person, I don't care.
Okay. Favorite genre of music?
Rap.
If you were to create a slogan for your life, what would that slogan be? You could have Nike, Just Do It.
I think it's something I heard like years ago, right? And then I searched the internet for it, I couldn't find it, but I'm pretty sure I heard this one last. It's like something that's like, So less of a slogan, and is this another small slogan? So Kobe Bryant gets signed to the NBA, like,
sure.
Super young, doesn't go to college, the most NBA.
Kobe with an afro.
Kobe with an afro.
I was watching Muse last night, his little documentary.
No, is it Kobe?
No, it came out in 2015.
Okay.
It's a good one. Anyway.
So Kobe gets signed, and then on like one of the first press conferences, it was just like, oh, like, so how are you going to do? You're like one of the youngest in the NBA, this, that. And like, he's like, I'm going to be the best in the world. And the reporter starts laughing. The reporter's like, oh, you're going to be the best in the world. It's like, yeah. It's like, how are you going to be the best in the world? And there's like, it's great players, like, you're young, yeah, it's a lot of promise. He's like, no, everyone else is like at college right now. And like, they're selling the best of all for my age and stuff, and you become the best in the world. Ultimately, he's like, everyone else is at college. And when they're at college, they're studying, they go to parties, they're socializing, they're like playing ball sometimes, and they're doing other sports and stuff as well.
They're distracted.
He was like, all I do is play ball. It's like, they can't really possibly get me. This is all I do. So even like a slogan for my life, it's about, less of a slogan, but it's that energy, right? That commitment. Like, this is all I do. How can you possibly get me?
Shit. All right. On that note, worst job you've ever had?
Worst job I've ever had.
You can say current job if you want to.
That's funny. This job is not the worst job I had. The worst job. So interesting. I've never ever had a job actually. So I.
My friends have said that too, but they do other stuff.
well, I won't get to the worst thing I've ever done. Like, the worst job I've ever had. So I would say maybe I was something like, I did an internship like 6-7 years ago at Telefonicism, Starbucks, and Waiter.
Sure.
That wasn't the worst. It was just more like, that, I feel like they should have paid me like 10 times more, literally.
Sure.
10 times more.
I think I can overextend our time with the team, yeah. And maybe I was better to play.
So we've alluded to it. Let's go into your background. What do you currently do?
I run a VC-funded accelerator called Backstage Capital, and we invest in diverse founders. And that means women, people of color, LGBTQ, disabled, and immigrant founders.
So for the ignorant in the audience like myself, what is VC?
So VC stands for venture capital, and that is like a type of investment, private investments that are made into companies with high growth potential. So now, and those are usually, and I guess in the world of venture capital, because high growth, they usually have to be scalable. That means the more resource that goes into it, the more people can reach and further they can go. So we tend to look at like a lot of software businesses, online businesses, okay. That's how software.
Scalability, sure, and frequency. Yeah. How did you get into that?
So I guess that's a little bit of a job, right? So like I feel like a lot of young people are saying stuff. I've always wanted to be rich. That's fine, right? I come from a very my half sibling, so I come from a very poor place. I'm definitely. But on top of that, I'm from Gascoigne in Barking, right? And still in Barking, and Barking's just very poor, right? And Barking, there's like, no one cares about us there. That level of hope and stuff is probably at the bottom, but everyone's really ambitious. So I always wanted to be rich, and I guess I've always just naturally gravitate towards business stuff and just selling and buying and selling stuff, or just selling stuff, buying and selling stuff. And I guess like the world of business was a path to wealth, and I guess that the world of business had developed and changed over time. And it's like over the last like X number of years, 10, 50 years, especially in like London stuff, I've seen a lot of startups. So I was kind of doing stuff just before the ecosystem developed it. So when it came along, I was like, I only worked on a startup, I guess, and it was part of the early scene there.
Sure. So like most of our listeners and myself too, kind of similar ideology. I figured out like young, there was like three ways I could make money. One was to be an athlete. One was to do investing, and the other was to do business. Like, I can't kick ball, I can't play ball. I tried, got to a decent level, didn't work out. Martial arts, you know, I was okay. We couldn't quite make it to the next tier. Real estate investing, you need capital for that. So business thing was kind of the next path. And I thought if most people come from these backgrounds, that's really their focus, is just to be better for themselves and also their environment. So it'd be really interesting to know VCs. What is it like being, you know, a black male, female, black person in the VC industry?
I think there's a massive opportunity, but I feel like there's a lot of the majority of white male VCs, right, and investors, and they don't see the opportunities that we see. They're not from where I'm from. They don't understand
the problems that you guys are trying to solve.
They understand their own problems. That's why the investor people look at them. Someone that looks at them comes along and says, "Hey, I've got this problem that middle class rich white guy also experiences." And they're like, "Oh, that's a massive problem. Oh my gosh, right? I can't get food delivered to my dog or something. My cat, my fish." And so, okay, they solve that problem, right? And they solve all the big problems that we've got to solve for companies. And then we have this opportunity now to solve problems our needs and that we face as people. That's the events, that person of color, that's any sort of like underrepresented person, right, in this space. So what's that mean? Like, I think it's we stand out, but we always stand out, right? We're like great people. We lead culture. So people want to know what we're doing anyway. So like, even if they don't believe in like black founders or brown founders per se, like, they're interested in what's going on over there. It's like, oh, actually, what's that opportunity? They don't want to miss out opportunities either. So we're making that. So we're opening up their eyes and their minds to our opportunities as well. But it's increasing. It's like a few black VCs now. It's like just 25, 26 passing on.
It's like a little gang, a little set.
We've got a group of black VCs in London. We take us to VC and we chat all the time.
Share deal flow with each other.
Yeah, share deal flow with each other. We do stuff.
The rich guy over there. The rich group.
Maybe it's rich people in the group I need to like discover. but we're just trying to build that wealth for everyone. Like, people that are under
this is kind of why I'm really interested in what we're doing here at Spieler, which is trying to get people into companies whereby which there needs to be more people like them. So as you said before, there's an ecosystem right now where tech companies fundamentally can go from zero to 10, 20, 30 million in maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And these founders get X amount of that, but these founders tend to look a certain amount. So there's all this wealth being distributed unfairly in this economy, and we are just the pawns being used. And I feel as if it's time for a shift.
Yeah, I think I think it's just inevitable. I think we've got like people working on super interesting things like yourself, and people that, and it's crazy. So you had your founders' program, your start your showcase at the day a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, right? And the last 2 weeks, excuse me, and not even being there, I've gone to like so many, like probably 100 academic days and stuff. And I was like, genuinely, first I was like, actually, it's really interesting, it's really good. And you just saw potential in the room. And I felt like, wow, imagine that. I had not heard of Founders Door. I would have seen Spieler, I would have seen all these other organizations. And I would have seen the potential, I would have seen what's next. And
sure.
And I didn't. So I care about the start. It's not really important, but I definitely care about the people more. I'm like, actually, what is that person about? Why are they doing this? What's their story? And I just want to back great people. I'm like, let's back that great person. Like, that great person is going to create all this impact, right? They're going to create a lot of wealth, and then create a lot of jobs, and make a massive impact, and solve big problems. And I saw that you actually was really interesting. You got multiple. I told you afterwards. I saw you the show afterwards, and when you go on stage, you just own the room. And I think sometimes that's hard to do, especially because you were like in the middle of the set, right?
I wanted to go first. I've always told that you either want to go first or you want to go last. Because yeah. No one remembers the middle.
No one remembers the middle. That's the difference. You own the room. I think that's very fortunate for you. You can command the room. And maybe like say the night per se as well, and actually you just reinvigorate the whole room as well with energy, and that's what this found is doing. This found is doing.
Try small steps at a time. Wow, I'm kind of blushed, man. You made me nervous.
Just
wow, man. Okay. So listen, I think most people will kind of be interested in VC and becoming a VC. I don't want to go into particulars about like salary, because that's really an interesting topic where people seem to be motivated. That's why you see a lot of people like us kind of go into the financial services consultancy, because that's where they say that the big bucks are.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to do is educate people, and there's different industries where you can make
money. I want you to talk about money.
Let's talk about the big money, man.
Let's talk about it. So now I'm going to do as well. So there's
it's the money talk. Cloth talk, baby.
Cloth talk, yeah. I've heard people do this enough, right? I'm happy to talk about everything. So like, let's say, so what I'm getting off my phone right now is we've got like a document that tells us that actually here's how much everyone's paid at different levels of VC on average, right? There's a fund hiring now who's done that. So I can share this with you after this anyway. So let's say, okay, cool. So what question are you asking? You can ask me the question.
Let's say I've graduated or I'm about to graduate. I'm in my second year, third year.
Yep.
I have a degree in something, anything to be fair.
Yep.
I'm looking to apply for jobs. I know that if I was to go to a financial services consultancy, I'm going to earn more than 28 to 40.
Yep.
That's my driving force. Would VC match that starting salary?
So let's say, because there's different types of funds, different salaries.
Sure.
Let's just say the average fund. The average fund, that's a, that's been established, as long as it's a second or third fund, right? Like, so there are a few like general roles of funds, and I'll just talk about like the entry role, usually is an analyst role. And that analyst basically sees a lot of deals. When all the emails come, the analyst usually deals with them, and it's a close process usually.
Mm-hmm.
And the associate is the one who is at the next level. The associate usually meets with the startups and determines whether or not like they have a good deal or not. Right? And then moves on to like this. So I guess there's analysts, there's associates, there's senior associates. You imagine I'm just more senior to analysts.
Sure.
So a bit of responsibility. There's principals or like VPs and vice presidents / investment directors. I'm going to talk about the salary brackets for each one as well. Then after that, there's like partners, directors. Then there's like senior partners, like our managing directors, right? And some funds everyone's paid the same, some funds aren't, but like we all on average, so let's say analysts, right? So that's like after uni, you want to go into a venture fund. The average salary in the UK at the moment is 53,000 for that, right? The average salary for an associate is 70,000. The average salary for a senior associate is 83,000. For an investment director or principal is 116,000. For a partner director is 159,000. And then for a managing director or senior partner is 220,000. So
lucrative.
Yeah, so it's not bad, right? So like,
yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad. So that's an important thing, right? I guess, and the time it takes to get there, let's say you're an analyst, after like 2 years, you probably most likely qualify to be an associate, right? Or even after a year, depending on how hungry you are and how hard you work. And then an associate, a senior associate, and maybe that could take a few years, right? It could take like 3 to 5 years, right? Again, it's hard because it's ambition. You have to declare you want that for yourself and take an interest in what the senior associates do. It's more responsibility, maybe more working hours, maybe different working styles.
Sacrifice, maybe. Sacrifice, there's weekends out. Maybe Fridays, you're still in the office.
Yeah.
Saturdays, you do work as well. It just depends how bad you want it.
Yeah, it's how can I not be the best in the world, right? Like, how can they be possibly better than me? Like, they're playing, that they're studying.
Chasing girls, chasing boys, going carnival, catching wines.
Parties, they're socializing, right? They're playing ball, they're not sports. Why are they playing ball? How can they possibly be better? It's that, right? Then you've got like investment directors, and that's like probably like a 10-year game, to be told the truth. And then maybe 3 to 7 years after that, you become like a director or something. Manager, director. It's just depending on who's in the school.
So you've caught my interest. I'm a second year, third year graduate for undergrad.
Yeah.
Right now, I secured a 2-1 in my second year.
Yeah.
Gone into my third year. 2-1 is probably going to be a likely option for me. How do I get into VC?
Sure.
What would you recommend?
Sure. So, I don't want to go without saying. So the group 10x10 VC, the other group of black VCs, we're actually hosting an event called Getting Into VC for black people, black and trans people. It's going to be in October, Black History Month. We'll get word out to you and share.
Oh, shit. I'm turning up myself. Trying to get pay rates down.
Yeah, 100% shop. So, what we're going to do is going to be a very practical event as well. So, not just going to be us talking about it, we're going to have some quantified data of ourselves, all of us, and then some qualitative data. But we're going to sit down with people who have interest in different types of sectors, and then we're going to sit down with VCs and talk to them about exactly what it takes, what you need to be reading, what you send out video to us beforehand, here's how to walk the walk as well. And we're going to go talk to a lot of funds to get like interviews for everyone at like entry level stages as well. And we're going to help people with the interview process as well.
Amazing. That's powerful.
And that's us giving back, right? And that's trying to change the face of VC as well. So what you should do, I think there are a few things that you should understand in the media, right? I had this conversation recently, someone was like, they didn't get a job in venture, they were afraid to get a job in venture because they weren't strong numbers. And then one time people, I was sort of like, we haven't got strong numbers, that's a crap excuse for me. I was like, no, it's not a crap excuse. Like, you've got to be able to, just understand numbers, right? At least if I understand. And it's worth reading about markets and different sectors to understand what's feasible and someone's speaking to. So like if I say now, I'm gonna start a food company for unicorns. You have to understand that, you have to know shit with that business strategy, and then maybe I say I'm starting a food company for gerbils or something, right? And I say the market size is 100 million gerbils in the world. You have to understand there's not 100 million gerbils in the world. Right? Sure. Or ask about it, or talk to me about it, and just go like, hey, actually, like, what you said about that market, or even in this, 100 million gerbils in the world, the gerbil owners are going to pay £10 a year, so we're going to make 100 billion. You have to know that doesn't equal 100 billion. Right? Sure. And when it comes to like going to market and acquiring customers, you have to understand what's realistic, understand what people have done. There's a lot of history. I think tell people all the time, you have to cheat history here. Because
it's repeats itself, you can learn so much.
Yeah, you learn so much, right? And like isn't 10 years ago or something when, like 10 plus years ago, when I started my first startup in London, and it was just like, oh, like we were the first people in startups here. We had some history to learn from like traditional people in business and in the States, especially like Valley and New York. But like, it's been 10 years on, right? Like, actually, you've got all this history to learn from every year. Thousands of companies, hundreds of companies, bring that, tens of thousands fail. You've got a lot of history to learn from cheat history. Do a lot of reading, read about how great companies
are. That's a great slogan, cheat history.
Cheat history, right? Like, learn about how great companies have been built, what smart people have done. Read what smart people are reading. I know these things are basic, but like, I wanted to send you this some newsletters I'm doing, right? That's what people should begin, just read what smart people are reading. Spend time doing the work as well. It's always about like, just do things and talk to people. I think whenever someone says to me, I want to talk about startup, I'm not showing you something. You have to show something. Right? Like, and I literally believe that people going over, exert themselves sometimes really early on. I feel that everything, every problem or solution, every problem can basically be solved, should be able to be solved in a text message, email, or spreadsheet, right? Initially. That's not everything, that's most things, right? So people should learn that and spend a lot of money doing things, even if they can just validate things really, really affordably, cheap. And then maybe even for free, it's damn spreadsheets, Google Sheets, sure, it's a text, WhatsApp, if WhatsApp's free, right? Email's free, Gmail, so Mom or whatever you want to use Gmail,
PYS. Can we touch upon like one of your investments, Trimit?
Yep.
So I found about Trimit on Twitter, where I found out about most of my news.
Yep.
And because Darren put a story up about how he got funded. Yeah. It was a really emotional story.
Yeah.
How did you guys get to the mindset of, here's a gentleman, a business we want to invest in? What was that process?
Sure, so so that first question, I'm on the Trimit board. So I've been involved in the company before we invested. So even that story.
So he barred you up.
So smart. Like,
play the long game.
We're in the position of privilege, right? Like we, like someone like, oh, like we give someone money, and it's great for them. No, actually, we get shares of your business.
Sure.
Right? Everyone that invests just really wants to make money. Right? That's it. People say often enough. So, we have the privilege of having shares of your business and be part of your journey. So, with Trimit, I guess Darren called me like a year and a half ago or something, and Darren was like, "Yo, can I just talk to you about what I'm working on?" And he, I think. They were just getting the first band was on the road, yeah, just getting built or whatever. And he'd been working on this app for efficiency for mobile, for like to book your barber or something. So you go to that normal barber.
That's a big problem, bro. I hate waiting.
So we tried to solve that trip and it didn't work out because we thought we were solving an efficiency problem. It was a human problem that we can't solve, that we weren't in a position to solve. Because people booking on the Trimit app, but then they'll go to the barbershop, and the barbershop will be open. Barber will go and like getting like food, like chips during the day or something. They go there, there'll be 10 people in the way, in there already. The barber will just like, he's boy, go to front. Barber will leave the shop for a phone call, leave the shop to like talk to some girl. We're all getting all these ridiculous comments, ridiculous reviews. They're legit. We've all experienced this in barbershops, right? We're not ends especially. So we're getting all these ridiculous reviews.
That still happens to me this day.
Yeah,
my mum went out for like 20 minutes just to chat to somebody. I'm just there like, yo, I watched your TV.
See, my boy is literally going to still go to the barbershop sometimes because you can't use Trimit yet.
Like, it's quite expensive, the £25.
It's like, yeah, it's all because
it's like, it's a luxury.
We can talk about it, It's like my boy is going to barbershops with like laptops and iPads fully charged.
I bring a book, yeah, for sure, because you know how long you're going to be there for.
Madness,
on a Saturday as well, when Arsenal's playing, fam.
Madness. And they can't do anything, it's like, oh! And like,
you're kind of nervous, maybe it might slip up.
Yeah. So we had this bad news in the app store, and we were just blaming us for it, but it wasn't us instead, right? But actually, so okay, cool, this is not working. So what do we believe in? We believe that can give you good, you should be able to get cuts. We're like, then how about we control it to get end to end? And that's how the idea for the banking, just before actually, we had more money, that was like, then we can get just one bank. This vision that one of our friends say helped spend his decision on it. And that's when I met him just before, I'd known him, but we actually we spoke just before that. He was like, hey, can you help me with one thing? I was like, actually it's about narrative. So I helped him in a small way, just through just support, just being on the phone for maybe a day or every 2 days, regarding investors, how to prepare his materials, just about the process. I always say, raising money in the early days is about narrative and process. Like narrative is, what's the story here? Like, is it like, you have this mobile barbershop, or is it, look what WeWork has done, and then we look now, look what WeWork has done with space, look what Uber has done with transportation, this is what we're going to do. Like, a bit of both, like, this is what we're going to do with space leverage, when it comes to you and your time, we're going to work on that, and also the vision to pick up. And so I helped him just, I guess, craft that narrative somewhat, and then on the process of, here's a list of investors, contact them, send cold outreach, get introductions, follow up, send them documents, take meetings, follow up, and it's one of the really efficient processes that we got there in the end, we ended up raising 225, so end of last year, and then we came aboard and invested, as we do that, we invest 100k, 5%, $100,000, so came plus 75.
So with that investment, are you looking to 10x, 20x?
Sure, so,
okay.
So I guess we had one back, so before closing this, we had one band in the middle of last year. So we started raising money, like in Sweden, and we ended up raising money that went to November. So we had one band in the middle of last year, and the band was, and the money was through. We couldn't meet the month, which is one band.
It didn't come to where I live from. I was pissed.
Where did you
live? Southeast London. Where? Village.
Okay, we're coming now. Right?
Maybe a little discount too, maybe £15.
Yeah, so with that demand, then that's how startups look at demand. Like, you can't demand supply that out, like, supply and demand are balanced to actually, there's a positive problem, we're fully booked every day, right? We bought that 10 days in advance, so do you remember that as well? So actually, we need more money to go and get more bands in the world. So it's about, we really somewhat validated. Like, we need to, like, get stronger validation, basically. And prove that there is the modern market, it's not just about design, fad, or whatever it is. So the aim was initially, I guess, let's get 5 to 10 bands in the world by the end of this year, find out we're at 6. And we can get to 10, but we're deciding on the strategy around maybe just, like, right now, we weren't cutting on the weekends, like, on the evenings, the late night, and that stuff, and this stuff, and that stuff, as well as other things. Yeah, and then, like, we're going to raise a round early next year. That'll be, like,
So what do you see the business being in 5 to 10 years? So when you guys invest, is there a year plan? So you expect, cool, we're going to invest X amount this year, and by year 7, year 8, year 9, we're looking to have the valuation at X.
Sure.
And so, that's an X return on our investment.
Year 7, year 8, so no one does. Someone should have the idea in their head, but no one should have like a plan for that stuff. Because even the plan of next year changes so much.
Sure, right? It's difficult.
So we will say that.
A lot of uncertainty.
Like, 3-year plans, maybe an idea what happens in year 5 is if you can't buy the business, you want to sell it. But definitely, a minimum like a 2-3-year plan. I don't even get to see financials for like year 3, year 4, year 5. That's all good stuff. Because even financials, two more samples will probably change. But we'll trim, I guess. We believe that we can take the London market by the end of this year, and we're confident we can do that. Right now we're doing haircuts. We've got a nail salon we just launched, which we're testing, and there's all these other things we can do in the van, right? And
if you can do manicures and pedicures, from I'm paying.
You're paying.
I'm paying.
So
that's a really embarrassing experience.
So we're going to do an experience. It's the first part of the first ready experience.
And again, you touched upon it. This is why, you know, having black people on VC is important, because if you were to pitch this idea to James Johnson, would he see this as being a big issue, a pressing issue?
Sure. No. So when I set out, so I was refusing from the start. So I sent out an email when Darren wanted to raise money initially. I sent out an email to a bunch of my investors. And it's interesting, I've got a few replies like, I don't believe this market is big enough. I think the black hair market. And someone even said, someone's comfortable, was like, oh, do that many black people really get their haircut? Imagine seeing black people. So potentially, this person obviously sees black people with just like level one flat, low haircuts all the time, the super hair doesn't look across. Black people just being conservative in workplaces or racism.
I have to, bro. Even this right now is a bit too much. I'm gonna get cut tomorrow.
because of racism, it keeps it that way. So they're just
thinking, I'm jealous. I wish I could rock this at work. We'll get a dreadlocks. If I
so maybe you should. So people send those replies all the time, not inside the market. Then I got a phone call to people, I was like, hey, actually, like, there's this with that people in the world, right? And it's growing, and people kind of enjoy it.
At least every 2 weeks is what you have to get a haircut.
Yeah, exactly. So was like, actually, Marcus, that's the best amount I've spent for the barbershops. I was like, actually, come with us to somewhere I can see with the barbershops. And I was like, oh, like, 10 barbershops on there. I was like, that's nothing.
On the road, was a Plumstead High Street, there's like, what, 6 barbershops?
In Barclay, if you walk from the station to, like, Lidl, which is like 4 or 5 minutes away, you pass 12 barbershops. They all get sausage oil. They don't care. Like, it's just like how it is. So yeah, so we got a lot of sponsors, but I mean, that's what opportunity, that's what people ask. But for them, it's an education piece as well. It's an education piece that's meant to, that should provide also like founders sometimes, because now let's say if it's that we invest in a massive university that has founders, if it's like femtech, which is like female technology and stuff, like sex tech especially, there's a lot of understanding that a lot of males don't have in that space, in that world. Like, I'll show, so like, I remember during our pitch process last year, we had some femtech and sex tech starts pitching to us. And so on some of the calls, Emily either led some of the like questions with the founders, or they came to this first question I was asked to my team very openly on that stack. So I was like, hey, can you got the, we all like, I guess, rotated and shared and given the pitch pictures. I was like, hey, can someone speak in this place? I want to speak in this place, because I'm trying to listen. And that should be our role. If you don't understand something, if you're a white guy listening to a black business, or you're a man to a female business, then we have to just listen and understand the stuff.
That's perfect. I don't want to call it rap, but we have to wrap up. It's supposed to be 20 minutes from
30.
No, it's cool. Listen, I couldn't stop you at a little 30. But just before we leave, it'd be good to know. All right, cool. So let's take it back. Let's rewind.
Yeah.
You are 20 years old in 2020. What would you be doing now to ensure your success? What steps can our listeners take away to make sure that they go all in deep to try and achieve their goals?
So, three things, I guess. One is, this is 2-1, right? Work your ass off, make no excuses, right? There's a lot of talk about this work-life balance, and that's not necessary.
It's a fallacy. It's a fallacy. Depends how much you want it.
It depends what you want in life. So it depends how much you want. It depends what you want in life, right? If you're trying to win success, you're trying to be the Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, and you're not messing with anything, you gotta work your ass off. You're trying to be Kobe Bryant, work your ass off, right? Make no excuses. 2, I would learn to code, right? And it's not to like learn to code to write software. It's more, they need to understand technology. And so if someone, like, you go to get something built, someone quotes you something, you're not like paying through the roof or something because you don't understand it. You can at least build a first version of the product yourself and get stuff out there. And you're actually more valuable as like paying a person someone else invested, because you have technical skills. And then I guess the third thing is, so especially for like, if it's 21 me and I'm from Barking, I'm from Gascoigne Barking, and you're black, invest your money wise. Don't spend money foolishly, right? Like, we see too much of it, right?
I feel like you're talking to me right now.
I'm talking to all of us. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to all of us.
So, guys, right? No belts, no more Gucci belts, no more bottles, no more spending free bills in Nobu or Libertines.
So, I make more money than like my close group friends. Like, I make the best money. So if that's a flex, what about this then, right? Because like, I make more money all of them. We all go out, but guess what? They're all wearing tracksuits. Everyone's got a Nike and Adidas tracksuit. This is that. My tracksuit costs £12 from Market. I heard this on £5 Market. £5 tracksuit to Market. Because I saw some guy with it. I was tracksuit to Market. No, I was like, so I'm gonna go find it. Because I just want to wear £5 tracksuits. Like, we haven't got to be. I don't care what it's about. I appreciate we come from nothing.
That's insecurity, and you know it.
Yeah, it's a script, but like, also I appreciate we come from nothing, so we want nice, want good, nice
floss.
Yeah, but like,
what good is the money if I can't show off? That's the mindset.
So my mindset is what Tupac said, right? Like, that if you flashy, you must not want it, right? Like, so I feel like we should just be saving money and be building our wealth. Like, people talk all the time about generation wealth and stuff. No, literally leave the money in your account and then start investing in other places. But listen to people, go and do a lot of research before you invest as well, because you've got to learn about stocks and then
cryptocurrency.
Crypto. Like, go and understand it first. Only invest in things you deeply understand. Then that would be the very last one. I guess the fourth thing would be getting a very deep understanding of something. Like, when I see people and they're like trying to pitch something or they're trying to talk about something, like, what do you want? My question is always, even interviews, I'm like, tell me about something you care about or understand deeply. Right? care about like various things. I care about like for one sample deeply, right? I care about data, right? And I care about driving deeply. Just understand things deeply as well.
And on that note, thanks for listening. What socials can people get you at?
Mr. Andy Davis, that's MRANDYDAVIS. That's everywhere, Twitter, Insta, Snap, LinkedIn, Facebook, if you use Facebook, or whatever. Everywhere, that's everywhere.
Perfect. Yes. Amazing.
Yeah, good, that's fun.
Let's do it again.
let's do it again, 100%.